How can it be the end of March, not even Easter yet, and yet I'm talking about getting everything wrapped up for the end of the school year? Because music teacher math is not like classroom teacher math. Today on Happier Music Teacher. Hi, and welcome to Happier Music Teacher. Are you a music teacher who has no time, no voice, and you kind of need to pee? I'm Beth Duhon. I'm a Christian, wife, mother, musician, and former stressed hot mess music teacher. I've been there. Join me every week as we work on easy micro actions so that you can be a happier music teacher. Today's Mindset Minute comes from Kendra Adachi. A lot of you know that I admire her work and her podcasting. And here is one of her mantras that she repeats all the time is live in the season. Well, that has just been ringing in my brain as I've been thinking about this episode and how to get everything done the last quarter of school. The last quarter of school has a very different energy than the first quarter of school, than right before Christmas break, than right when you get back from Christmas break. All every time in your school year has a very different season. I personally feel like you'll be a happier music teacher if you live in the season with your teaching. Lean into the energy highs and energy lows for you and your students. Lean into the events on your school calendar and a busy season, a less busy season. Don't just barrel through just because you can or you feel like you should. Instead, think about the seasons you're in and let that color your lesson plans, let that color how you interact with the kids, your expectations, all of the things. So, Mindset Minute today, live in the season. In this week's People, Podcast, and Promotion segment, I want to shine the spotlight on Susan Brumfield. I did not realize until her session at Oak that she actually had a new release, and to hear her tell it, it was several years in the making. So if Susan Brumfield spent several years on something, I guarantee you, you want it in your personal library. The title is First We Sing, 101 Songs and Games for Singing, Playing, and More. I want you to go back with me to Central Illinois, 1992, 1993. Imagine a girl with a big spiral perm, a lot of attitude, and a big Chevy Caprice, if you will. My nephews were riding the back. My mother was riding the front. And I was terrible at stopping at stop signs. So I would realize there's a stop sign, brake hard, and then everyone in the car would go forward and back. Of course, my nephews would exaggerate it, right? I was really self-conscious about it. I was really edgy. I was really not a good driver and very inexperienced. And they would say things like, why don't you let mommy drive? She drives nice. Well, one of the reasons that mommy drove nice, pardon the grammar, is that she gradually slowed down before the stop sign, right? She applied the brake. She didn't slam on the brake. And that story just popped in my mind as I was thinking about getting everything done the last quarter of school. Elementary music is a big, slow-moving Chevy Caprice. It does not immediately stop smoothly unless you plan to make it stop smoothly. So, in no particular order, here are some of my ideas about that. The first one is to start now. And this is going to be things you have heard from me before. In fact, I'm going to give you some old episode numbers. They may be a little cringy because they are very early on Happy Music Teacher. I'm curious about them myself. I may go back and listen. So we have episode 4, episode 7, and episode 8. Okay, I'm going to help you out there because it looks like I just stopped numbering the episodes after episode 4. So let me help you out. Episode 4 is Help, I Have No Time at the End of the Year. Episode 7 is May is Cray, Survival Self-Care. And episode 8 is End of Year Teacher Checklist. I hope that helps you out to go back and see. A lot of these points are probably going to be astoundingly similar, but if you're like me, I need to hear things a few times to get them. Okay, back to start now. I feel like this is one of those things I say almost every episode, but it's still true. My music supervisor was at Oak. In fact, she opened for me. And she was making such a good point when she was talking to one of the participants after the conference. And pretty much what we were saying to this person who was looking to possibly change roles, change seats on the bus, make her situation manageable. And if she's listening, hi, I hope you're doing well. that the schools run kind of like the fashion seasons. So they are already thinking about the next season ahead of time or two already. And sometimes as teachers, not in a leadership role, we get more in that reactive mode, right? We wait for that email to come up. We wait for that reminder. We wait till the day of, when really to have a smooth transition, you have to do a lot of things to start now to make everything manageable, especially when you're like us, when you have so many moving parts. I think it's really just a great idea to anything you can start now, do now. You know that it is coming, and especially as you get more experienced in the role, you know some of the things to anticipate. And if you let those things pile up till the end, you're really going to struggle. Point number two is to have reasonable expectations for how much more you're going to be able to fit in before the end of the year. There is a Cajun concept of lagniappe. Don't ask me to spell it. Actually, do. I'm secretly a little bit proud that I know how to spell it and say it. It took me a while. It is very possible if you have not covered some things this year, they may not fit in this year depending on your rotation. I know a friend from another district, his rotation is like every 8 days. Imagine planning around that and how many meetings he actually has before the end of the year. For the rest of us, are you really going to try to cram in a lot of curriculum at this point of the year? Maybe not. Now, I love high expectations, and I believe in high expectations, but you may want to just start thinking about that time is finite. I tell you this almost every episode as well. And so anything you get past a certain point at this time of year is lagniappe. Remember that you may not always get those meetings with your students that you think you will, or that you could be sick, or they could be sick, or you could have an assembly you didn't know about, or a lot of testing that maybe you thought was going to be a certain amount and it got turned into a lot more days, or makeups or other duties as assigned. You know how it goes. So go ahead and give yourself that talk now that you're going to start with reasonable expectations, and anything you get beyond that is just lagniappe. Number three is very similar. In fact, it might be the same point, but just let me say it again a different way. Make it work, and then make it work better. I have noticed this with myself so much lately, and it's also as I give advice to other people. We can stay stuck in the idea stage forever, and we really want things to be so good, and we can just think, if it would be so much better if I added this, and this, and this, and how about if I did that, and wouldn't it be cool? And yes, it would. I'm sure whatever you have in mind would be very cool, but make it work first, and then make it work better. And here's the secret of that. You probably will only have time to make it work. Barely. So let alone with putting the frosting on top and making it work better with all the bells and whistles. Start with the bare bones, build the frame of the house, and then you can get fancier if your time and your energy permits, but I'm going to tell you, in this last quarter, it feels like things travel at hyperspeed. I don't know. It's weird math here at the end of the school year. So really focus on the bare bones and making them work and functional, and anything above that is excellent. Number four is make May a free space. Now, this is not what you think, or hopefully not what you think. This is not a free-for-all in your room where you're letting the students talk and whatever, they get to roam wild, they can be free-range chickens, and May is just a really loose, free time. I actually kind of flip it the other way, but it's a structured thing that has novelty. So what can you do in May? If you have ukuleles that you have not been using the rest of the year, what a great time to bust out your ukuleles. If you have a piano lab, like I was gifted from a grant from the former teacher, what a nice time. I call it the month of May is Piano Month at my campus. I give an opportunity for students to perform if they're in piano lessons. I can see that, and it's amazing to hear and see their talents. And then also, that's a time that most of us, now, are we doing that all the time with K-1? No, not so much. But most of us can focus on learning some basic piano skills, which used to be just kind of a given in our culture and have now really slipped away. Not everyone takes piano lessons anymore like they used to. Well, I never did, but that's another story, and that's my own fault. You might do folk dance. I've done that where I had a folk dance competition at the end of the year, especially with some middle school students when I was teaching then. I know a teacher in my district who makes the last quarter of the school year centers, and she called it part of her self-care, and it was just a nice way for her to take that on-ramp, take the off-ramp, excuse me, and just slow down as she got out of the school year. Still do a lot of good review, a lot of good learning, a lot of enjoyment for the students, but in a different structured way than whole group instruction. Number five, this last quarter of the year can be a review, but it doesn't have to be a dry review. In fact, why? There's so many more fun things you can be doing. Games and centers and music bingo, all sorts of things that would be a wonderful review. Or conversely, you could use May as a little bit of a get ahead. If you knew that you're returning to your campus, and I hope that you are, and if you knew that you had a certain grade level for a program, could you not go ahead and teach them one of the program songs or choreography ahead of time? Just to get in their ear a little bit, just to be thinking about getting ahead. Or if you feel like there is something that you just never address like you would like to address, maybe it's patriotic music, maybe it's world music, maybe it's improv, composition, you know, those things that always seem to haunt us, that they lurk and we never get enough of them. Maybe this is a great time to work that into your curriculum here at the end. Number six is, since we have hundreds of students, and that can vary widely, but you know you have a ton, anything that you can try to get finished sooner if possible is good. Now, we are not stopping the semester a month early and then just getting ahead. I don't mean that at all. But for example, at my school, we have certificates for every class. I think a boy and a girl for the musician of the class. Well, if you take that times every class, that's a lot of certificates to sign. So would it be crazy to get ahead and sign the certificates? Would it be crazy to go ahead and set up the assignments in the gradebook and keep that as caught up as you can? Would it be crazy to make sure that all your teacher evaluation paperwork is in order? You know, the things where you have your SLO goal, like in Texas, our student learning objective goal. Other places it might be different. But if you know these things are coming, and you know you're multiplying it times hundreds of students, anything that you can do to get ahead that way would be great. And it is okay to end a little sooner in some ways, if possible, to give yourself that margin. So think that through. It's just that little bit to get yourself ahead with all that inevitable paperwork that happens at the end. You know it's coming. You don't necessarily have to wait until the last couple days of school to sign your certificates or even pick your people for your certificates, right? They're not wildly going to change character between the start of the last quarter and the end of the last quarter. And if so, okay, tear up a certificate or two and get another one. If you are like me, you probably have enough of these and then some from when you shop your own closets. So that's a little bit of a budget saving and a clutter clearing tip for you when you're working at your school is go ahead, just like you shop your own closet at home and realize you may not have to buy something. When you shop your own closets and cabinets at school, first off, you might get rid of some clutter. But secondly, you might find out, hey, my budget's better than I thought. I didn't have to buy anything. Number seven, teacher joy matters. Now, this is not an original idea of mine. There is a really fun active member in my Facebook group, Eric, and he talks about making sure that he has a good taste in his mouth at the end of the term. And I think it's really important, as we have doing all the post-pandemic things in education and the way things have shifted, you'll know what I'm talking about, whatever that means to you. I think a lot of times we have forgotten just joy in the whole space. But particularly teacher joy. And yes, the kids are important. And yes, we love them. But your joy matters too. And your will to come back the next year, your energy level, your love of the subject matter. So as you are coming into this last quarter of the year, instead of that narrative that sometimes you will hear out in the space, which is just ring out every last drop, a good teacher consumes himself to light the way for others, and all of that garbage, that hot garbage, that hot stinky garbage, don't get me started. Your joy matters. So if there's an activity that you are doing in the month of May purely for joy's sake, good. Do it. Double down on it. Your students will catch your mood and will catch your activity level much more than you just trying to slog through something that you're kind of meh about anyway. So if you're going to prioritize anything, it is totally okay and even recommended in my book to focus on teacher joy. So there are two ways to monitor for field day. One is to grit your teeth and grumble under your breath and resent it and complain and find things that are wrong, because there will be things that are wrong. And the other is to find what you look forward to on field day. Maybe it is a snow cone and a pickle, and those are treats for you. Go enjoy the snow cone, enjoy the pickle, and have some fun with some kids and do some silly selfies with them. You're there anyway, and teacher joy matters. Number 8 is this is a great time to double down on healthy movement and eating. Now, if you've been listening to me any length of time, you'll hear me say this all types of times, right? I say that December is a great time to double down on it. And starting fresh in January, well, this is a great time too. If you're like me, you have been hibernating, like actually hibernating, like eating a lot and sleeping a lot, maybe being grumpy, all those type of things. And you just feel like now the weather's changing, maybe you're just wanting to eat a little lighter and healthier. You want to incorporate that walk again while it's still gorgeous outside. You're feeling like, oh, I stepped on the scale and I can tell I had a lot of fun the last couple weeks. No shame, no guilt, but this is a nice time to feel fresh and good. And it's easy to say, because I've done it, right? I can't possibly walk on my lunch hour. There's so many things I need to do. And, you know, it doesn't matter what I'll just grab something from the lounge. I'm sure there's some stale lounge cake there, or I can take some change down to the vending machine. Ew, no, do not do that. Instead, really focus on things that make you feel good and that you will feel good about going into the summer and will energize you for this last stretch. If you think of it literally like a marathon, or even just any kind of race. My son ran track and cross country this year, so those analogies are very fresh in my mind. That last stretch is a challenge. What are you going to do? Go into it on old lounge cake and then just all sluggish activity? You'll feel so much better if you don't. Number 9, and do this with a lot of grace and a lot of love, is jot down improvements as they come to mind. When you are putting something up, but you don't have the time to deal with it, just open up the notes doc on your phone and jot down what you want to do. Maybe there's some specific things you want to order, but not now. Maybe there's some feedback you got about a program and it's valid feedback. And so you just want to jot it down for next year. So as you're planning ahead for next year, as you're making your decisions, you have it. And when you think about how something goes, right, some of those last performances, or you think about your lesson plans and how that timing worked out, or what you hoped you get to in one of your classes and why you think y'all didn't get there, go ahead and just jot down those improvements as they come to mind. You don't have to act on any of them yet. In fact, I would encourage you not to. This is actually a procrastination that I encourage. At this time of year, if you are trying to sit down with your administrators and just talk about all these improvements and all this mindset stuff, they will probably listen to you. They will probably be polite, but they will secretly be wishing you are not there in their office, jabbering in their ear about all these things when they urgently have a lot of things to attend to and get wrapped up. So save it. You don't have to forget it. Just save it and write it down. I can always tell when it's been a while since I recorded because the recordings get longer and longer. Finally, your bonus tip is keep in mind that you will be tired in every way. And at this time of year, many sports start. I'm thinking about swim for my son. I'm thinking about people who are in soccer that maybe is just starting back up. Baseball, softball, some of those just traditional fun spring sports are gearing back up. And then also the parent routines are loosening up. So you keep all that perfect storm of you are more tired in every way because you're in the last lap of Mario Kart, right? And then some of the students are up way later because they have their sports practices. So maybe they're staying up at the ballpark until dark and then coming home and doing dinner and then maybe staying up for some homework. And you can see where this is going. And then finally, parent routines. And I understand, completely understand, that They feel a little silly keeping a very strict routine the last few weeks of school when hopefully everything is slowing down a little bit, and they are tired of enforcing the rules and being the bad cop. All that to say, keep in mind that you're not going to have a lot of gas in the tank at the end of the year. So go ahead and plan on that and set your expectations on that. That being said, I hope you have a wonderful last quarter of school. The end is in sight. If you're a newer podcast listener to Happier Music Teacher, welcome. Here are a few things you might be able to do to support the podcast. The first is join the Happier Music Teachers Facebook group. That group is a source of joy for me, and I post in it daily. The second thing you might consider is leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And the third is purchasing Happier Music Teacher, currently on FLAT Books and soon to come on Amazon. This week's verse of the day, Luke 12:27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Thank you for listening to the Happier Music Teacher. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe and tell a friend.